Final segment of the night. Hope everybody's having a fantastic evening. The weather is beautiful out. Stepped outside for a little bit this afternoon, and I'm like, wow, the weather is bleeping gorgeous. Why couldn't it be like this year-round? Be all right with me. Not a cloud in the sky, not too hot, not too cold, just perfect. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255, and the text line, 855-282-8255. I had to Google image Tony Orlando because Ward Cleaver suggested him playing the role of Kevin Slayton in the Joe Paterno movie. And I just started laughing as soon as I saw Tony Orlando. I'm like, yeah, he does. He looks a lot like Kevin Slayton. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is our friend Jim. Jim, how are you, sir?
Good evening, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm going to quote one of the greatest football coaches of all time. In fact, the Super Bowl trophy is named after him, Vince Lombardi. As far as the Cardinals are concerned, what the hell is going on out there, man?
A lot of bad baseball.
My God, have they quit on this manager, do you think?
Or you know what? I heard someone ask that earlier today. I think it might have been on the hard line. Do you think that the players on this team are tuning out Mike Matheny? And I think that's an extremely fair question to ask because they're not improving at all. In fact, they're getting worse. So,
Matt,
go ahead.
Why isn't Diaz in the lineup tonight? I don't want to hear this, oh, my God, we're grinding out 20 games in 20 days. He needs a rest. This is a young kid. No complaints, but, you know, I'm 60 years old. I work a regular job. I work a part-time job. Matt, I grind it out every day. I don't know where he thinks these guys are grinding out. They eat better probably in their post-game spread than I probably eat, you know, on a regular basis at lunchtime or at dinner time.
Sure.
Man, don't candy-ass these ball players. I'm tired of it. Again, too, this game, again, I've said it once, I said it 1,000 times. This team is poorly put together. This team is poorly managed. Again, what the hell is going on out there, Matt? I'm going to listen on the phone right now as we talk. What is it, Matt? Have they tuned this guy out?
No, I think that's an extremely fair question to ask. But going back to what you said about Diaz and Alimus Diaz not being in the lineup, I'm not sure what the reason is. But if it is rest, sometimes it's not necessarily a physical rest that they're looking for. Sometimes it's a mental one they need as well. Not to excuse it, but that could be the reason why. It may not be that he's physically tired, but maybe mentally drained.
Didn't he have two hits last night, Matt?
I think he did, yeah. So I'm not sure what exactly is going on. Who knows? But I think that is a question that Mozeliak and the ownership group, that's something that they have to ask themselves. Has this Cardinals team, are they tuning out the manager? Are they not paying attention to what he has to say? Is the message getting stale? Because Matheny is sounding a lot like Mike Martz during his tenure as head coach when the defense wasn't very good, and he just kept saying, oh, well, shoot, we'll fix that. And Jeff Fisher, too, when Jeff Fisher was here with the Rams, and you're talking about all the bonehead penalties that the Rams used to make all the time, whether it be offsides or just a dumb personal foul, or it seemed like there was always a penalty during one of Tavon Austin's kick or punt returns. Jeff Fisher would always, you know, make some lame excuse about that, too. You're hearing that from Matheny about the base running and the defense.
Matt, here's the other thing, too, is this. And, I've said this before, and you know again, too, I am not a fan of John Mozeliak at all. Let's face it, when John Mozeliak was here, the news cover was full because the guy who's the general manager of the Houston Astros, who had the best record in baseball right now, was filling that pantry for him all the time. It seems like since Jeff Luhnow's left, he doesn't know what to do, what side is up, what side is down. I think maybe he got off a little easy on the Korea thing, on the hacking. He's got to stand accountable, too, for everything. Again, the whole thing is a mess. Thanks for letting me vent again. Of course, I always enjoy your show, and I can't wait to hear from Mean Gene Okerlund. Thanks again, Matt. I don't know if I'll talk to you the rest of the week, but like my friend Vince Lombardi said, what the hell is going on out there? Thanks again, buddy. Have a good day.
You too, Jim. Appreciate the phone call, as always. Yeah, there's plenty of blame to go around. Ford Cleaver's cracking me up. There's plenty of blame to go around when it comes to this Cardinals fiasco. It goes right up to John Mozeliak. It goes to obviously Mike Matheny, and also goes to the players too. The players have to perform. A lot of these players are underperforming. Dexter Fowler's underperforming. Matt Carpenter's underperforming. Steven Piscotty, he's also underperforming. I mean, the plan basically was they have those three. It was supposed to be Fowler, Diaz. We're supposed to be the 1-2 with the high on-base percentage guys, and they're going to be driven in by Matt Carpenter and Steven Piscotty, and so far that hasn't happened. And it looks like they don't have a plan B. And the way this team was floundering, if they continue to flounder, I think the seat under Mike Matheny is only going to get hotter. And I think there's going to be a lot of people in St. Louis are going to be happy. Whenever he does go, there's going to be a lot of people happy to see him go. War Cleaver texting in that Kevin Slayton is the real-life Michael Jordan crying face. That's pretty funny. Keep it coming in, Ward Cleaver. You're cracking me up. But yeah, this Cardinals team, real problems. And I'm not sure there's going to be any real easy solutions. There's so many players that need to be overhauled on this roster. And I think that once you see Colton Wong come back from the DL this weekend, I think you're going to see Johnny Peralta. I think you're just going to see him flat out released. I mean, there's some people who are saying, well, trade him for what? If the fan in St. Louis knows that Johnny Peralta is a junk player, you're trying to tell me that GMs around Major League Baseball don't know what you know? Of course they do. They're not, if they want him, they're just going to wait for you to release him and then pick him up without having to give up anything, no matter how small the draft pick is. But if Johnny Peralta's on this ball club by this time next week, I'll be really surprised. No extra base hits, no runs driven in. There's no reason to keep him.
What it comes down to. Now
when you've got DeJong playing well, there's no reason to keep him.
Not if he's going to get snippy about playing first base.
I want to say he's getting snippy, just doesn't want to do it. And if you're uncomfortable doing it, you're uncomfortable doing it.
What's his paycheck look like?
What's that?
So what does his paycheck look like?
Doesn't matter.
I don't care what he's uncomfortable doing. I'm paying him $1 million.
I got you. So whenever someone
when somebody throws me the, Matt, what would you do for $3 million? There's a long list of things there, Matt Berger. Doing things I'm uncomfortable with is pretty much the entirety of the list. Johnny Peralta needs to come down to earth and do what anybody else would do for $3 million, and that's something that makes them slightly uncomfortable.
Okay, but when you're already used to that kind of money, $3 million isn't going to mean anything.
All right, fair point.
We're clear at texting back in. What the Cardinals need is for Mark Cuban to buy them. Oh, my God. Please. I would love it if the Cardinals bought – or if Mark Cuban bought the Cardinals. I would love it. I'm not sure the other Major League Baseball managers would like that because I know we tried to buy the Cubs. I'm trying to remember how many years ago that was, and I think they blocked the sale. And I was kind of glad that happened because I did not want to see that guy and his money buy the Cubs. But if he were to buy the Cardinals, I would be okay with it. Here's another thing, too, I was kind of wondering about John Mozeliak, and this is the whole Louis Robber, when they were recording him and they lost out to the Chicago White Sox. Is John Mozeliak the right pitch man you want to try to recruit some of these players? You know, I mean, I'm not trying to pick on the guy, but if you have some of these young players, you know, especially like Louis Robert, who's from Cuba, and he's going to want, you know, he's going to want glitz, he's going to want glamour. And then you have John Mozeliak with his bow tie and his needle nose and his monotone voice, and he looks like the team accountant as opposed to the team's general manager. I'm just wondering what kind of recruiting device that is. Is that the person you want trying to recruit for your team, to pitch your team? I mean, I think that's a fair question. What do you think, Rock?
I think it's a fair question, yeah. But I think that's maybe jumping from what we heard about how blown away he was from the deal with the White Sox and how kind of part of that was the fact that the White Sox, you know, got a lot of input from other Cuban players.
Yeah.
And that's what really influenced their presentation. Those stories, I think, kind of contribute to that your thought process. But I think at the same time, just because the fact that they had a lot of Cuban players and they had a big presentation helped them, I don't think means the inverse is immediately true, in that the fact that the Cardinals don't have that atmosphere or viewpoint hurt them. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Let's not let the fact that the one side is true immediately prove to us that the other side is inversely true as well. But I don't think you're reading it wrong. I just think, let's just not jump to any conclusion, because that is kind of a big, you know, just making the big claim is, you know, they can't speak to a type of player. That's big.
Well, okay, but I'm just talking about, if you're looking at the kind of players that are coming into Major League Baseball, I don't think the fact that St. Louis is a great organization, which it is, that St. Louis has great fans, which they do.
You almost said it.
The best fans in baseball? Yeah, I really did. I had to stop myself. Oh. I had to stop myself.
Oh, my God, that would have been terrible. I would have walked off this show right now. I quit!
Hannah's dog's poached eggs. He's texting in saying, the infield needs help, but where would the outfield and lineup be with Tavares? That's a fair question. It seems like they really haven't recovered from Oscar Tavares. Cleaver,
name me franchises that recover from losing top prospects. I mean, any sport, it doesn't work. Look what happened to the Celtics.
Well, yeah, when Len Bias died, you're right.
And they lost what's his name when he was young too, in the 90s. Not Bias. He was already on the team. I'm blanking on it. There was a Celtics winger who died when he was in his career. What name? I'm blanking on it.
Ward Cleaver texting back in. Charlie Tuna is the basis of Lee Daniels the butler, but he's in Stan Kroenke's house other than the White House. That's kind of funny.
Reggie Lewis.
Oh yeah.
Reggie Lewis. That's the other one I was thinking of, because I was like he played for the Celtics. He it was even worse than Len Bias because he had a career and it was so promising.
But back to my point about the Cardinals. The fact that the Cardinals are a great organization, the fact that they have great fans, is that going to be enough for people to say that, okay, well, they're going to take less money because they want to come here? That may have worked on the players in the early 2000s and the late 90s. I don't know if that's going to work right now in 2017. I think the Cardinals are really going to have to start overspending on some of these players that they normally wouldn't be spending some of this money on. If they're going to want to get that top-tier, top-notch kind of player, they're really going to have to overspend. And I don't want to hear Mozeliak say, well, we fielded an offer we felt was very competitive. I don't want to hear competitive. I want to hear that you got them. That's your job. Go out there and get these players. Because right now what's on the field isn't cutting it.
There was a text I think we got. You know, it's $30 million. I don't think he's worrying about what the GM looks like. I'm trying to see who that tweet was from. I believe that
from
was
the 314.
Yeah, from the 314. So, and I agree with him on that case too.
That's a fair point.
Thank you.
Fair point. Ironhead texting in, they need to make their team great like the early 2000s to make other players want to come here on the cheap. Well, yeah, but the players that you need to make the team great again, I don't know if they're going to come here on the cheap. That's the kind of point I'm trying to make. I don't know if they can do it anymore. We'll see what happens, but I just got a feeling that it's not going to work this day and age. Special thanks to Ted Berg and Howard Balzer for joining us this evening. Remember, no show tomorrow night, but we'll be back on Thursday with Bob Nightingale from USAtoday.com. We're on a 48-hour break, 46-hour break. Charlie Tuna's up next right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Have a great night, everybody.